Good morning. This is Tamara Pigott from the Lee County Visitor and Convention Bureau, and I want to welcome you to this week's industry call. I would like to ask Commissioner Pendergrass to kick off our call. Commissioner, remember you have to hit *2 to unmute your line, sir.
I believe I did that. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you to all the partners and members and for being so patient. And I was like Tamara said, welcome. And I look forward to our discussions this morning. I want to bring some good news. Obviously, every day is a new hope, a new beginning here in Lee County. That's what happened 3 weeks ago as of yesterday with the storm. So yesterday, I'm sure you saw in the news, thanks for the work with the state and federal government and local governments, Lee County and the city of Sanibel, we were able to open the causeway to civilian use yesterday. It was obviously a huge milestone. I never thought 3 weeks ago when I saw the causeway would be have people going home again using the causeway this quick, but it worked. You know, it came out to, you know, taking some bureaucracy out of the process and just basically what we need and get the job done. And that's what the motivation was here in the last 3 weeks, and commend all the staff and all the workers that worked on this 24 hours delay last week. But every day, new beginnings. We have new things happening. Every day, there's more debris being picked up throughout the county. Never thought, after seeing what's happened at Florida Beach, you would have the electricity and water back on the main Estero Boulevard down there. That's up and running now. If the structure is able to get electricity and water, that is being done on that main line down Florida Beach. So it's just, we're still every day. It's just new things happening. I commend all the staff and everybody working together. We're trying to get back to normal again. Some places it's going to take a little bit longer, but we're going to get there together. So thank you again, and I look forward to this year. We're working together and rebuilding our community. So if there's any questions this time, please chime in. Look to take any questions.
And a reminder, if you have any questions for Commissioner Pendergrass, hit *2 and you can ask them. I think he has another meeting that he has to get to, so this is your chance to have a conversation with him.
You know, one thing I wanted to hammer is also let everybody know that there's so much information out there, and between FEMA reimbursement, small business loans, and the debris, for example, debris, Lee County has a great tool on our website. If you go to leegov.com/storm. And go to our website, you can click on debris in the homepage. You can actually see an interactive map to show the whole community, because I know you're getting it, I'm getting it, our neighbors and friends are saying, when's all this debris going to get picked up? You can go in there and see where they're currently working. It's a three-pass system. They'll be making three passes through each community, picking up all the debris, because there's so much of it right now. So all the resources and information is on our website, leegov.com.
Super. All right.
And Tamara, it's going to be another thing is we, you know, beach cleanup. I had a question this morning. I already had beach cleanup and access. You know, when can recreational boaters get back to Ponte Rasa? Because, yeah, as of yesterday, we opened up the causeway. So, of course, people are like, hey, if I can get the causeway, I can get to Ponte Rasa. When can we use recreational boating? That's not being used yet because it's still being used for central services and workers working on the causeway and working, getting supplies and stuff to Sanibel. So every day it gets better. It's still a lot of things that they're being worked on right now.
Yeah, an inordinate amount of work is going on, and I think most people recognize that, Commissioner. Obviously this was a tough one, and things are going to take a little longer than we're used to in past hurricanes. But the reality is that the work hasn't stopped. People are working tirelessly, not just people from our community, but people from all over the country who are here to help us, and it's much appreciated. Well, if nobody has a question for Commissioner Pendergrass, I'm going to give one last opportunity for that because I know he has to slip off. *2 if you want to ask him a question. We will move on to our guest speaker for this week. We have Sam Harvey from FEMA, who is going to explain FEMA's Transitional Sheltering Assistance Program. As you know, many people in our community are displaced from their home and are in need of transitional sheltering. As the crews begin to leave, I want to encourage our hoteliers to consider taking part in the TSA program to help their residents within our community. I hate the thought of people having to go to Orlando, Miami, Tampa to find temporary housing during this situation. So Sam, if you were on the line, please hit star 2 and we will kick it to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Tamara. Can you give me just a comms check?
Yes, we can hear you, sir.
All right. Thank you. So good morning, everybody. As Tamara pointed out, my name is Dan Harper. I work with the Individual Assistance Group in this disaster, specifically for the area that covers Lee County and the surrounding counties. I want to talk just a little bit about the transitional sheltering assistance that is offered through FEMA to survivors. Some folks may be familiar with this program as it has been used here in the state of Florida. I think most recently for Hurricane Irma back in 2017. But it is a type of assistance that FEMA offers to survivors based on their eligibility and their particular status. The assistance allows the survivor to go to a participating hotel, a hotel, motel, inn, anywhere within the state of Florida. And then FEMA is going to essentially pay for their stay. This allows folks to, you know, have a safe, secure place to stay while they are displaced from their primary home, while repairs are being made, or until they're able to find a more permanent solution. FEMA does all the work to identify, you know, which survivors may be eligible, and does all the communication to the survivors to indicate to them, you know, you are eligible. Here are the next steps. Here's what you need to know. Where we look to our partners to provide assistance, particularly those in, you know, within the lodging industry, there are, you know, only so many hotels, particularly in Lee County, that are, you know, currently participating, and even fewer that, you know, are right now are either able or willing to accept guests under this transitional sheltering assistance program. So we're hoping to be able to increase that. As it was pointed out, we want to be able to, you know, have survivors stay here locally in Lee County while they're trying to do the work, and not have to find hotels that may be 2, 3 or more hours away. So for all of our providers, you know, I'm happy to give a little bit of an overview of the assistance, answer some questions that you might have. Essentially, a survivor will come to your hotel if you are participating, if you are in a position to accept this assistance. They'll come to the hotel and indicate to you that they're eligible for transitional sheltering assistance. As a hotel, you'll be able to log to the Corporate Lodging Consultants Emergency Lodging Assistance Form, which is just an online website, essentially, and verify that, yes, this person is eligible, and check them into that ELA system, Emergency Lodging Assistance System. At that point, the room rate will be, room rate plus taxes will be paid for directly to the hotel. There'll be any exchange of funds between the survivor and the hotel. The hotel payment will come from our contractor, Corporate Lodging Consultants. Cost of the room, so the room rate plus taxes, are covered by this particular assistance. It does not include any extras such as that may be associated to the room. Right now, the rate that is allowable is up to 250% of the GSA rate. So obviously every area, every town has a different GSA rate. So, you know, what it is in Orlando is a little different than what it is in Fort Myers. But that's what is allowable. That 250% waiver may change as we get a little further into the recovery, but that's what it is at the moment. So, you know, from that assistance, everything in terms of how long are they able to stay in the hotel, all of those determinations are made between the survivor and the hotel. FEMA doesn't direct people to any one particular hotel or another. We don't determine how long they're able to stay. All we on the FEMA side do is we say, hey, up until this particular date, FEMA will pay for their hotel rate. And, you know, anything in terms of, well, if you only have rooms, you know, for a week, but not until the end of their eligibility, then they're you know, they can have a reservation for that long. You know, if we get to the point where the survivor continues to be eligible for additional amounts of time, you can extend their reservation if you have availability, or you can say, you know, I don't have availability, so, you know, at certain dates, that'll be the end of your stay with us. This also extends to any sort of local rules or hotel rules that, you know, that may be need to be observed or need to be enforced. All of that enforcement is between the survivor and the hotel. Again, FEMA just pays for the room rate and taxes sort of on the back end of that. So that's a very, very high level of TSA. You know, I'm hopeful that there are properties out there that are interested and able and you know, would like to participate in this assistance because we really would like to find additional space within the county. You know, so far we have very limited availability, but I know that there are a lot of folks within the county who have this eligibility, who are constantly looking for rooms and really would be served by being able to stay local, staying with the community, in their schools, or within range of doctors and other social services. So I'm very happy to answer any questions and look forward to working with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sam, for giving us this overview. I want everyone to know that we will be sending out an email later today, and we will include links to information about this program. So know that that's coming your way. But I also want to give you the chance, while we have Sam, to ask any questions you might have of him. So if you have any questions for Sam, please hit star two. To unmute yourself and ask away. So, all right, Sam, it looks like no one has any questions. We'll make sure we get the information out to them. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate your time, sir.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you to all your everyone on the call for their consideration.
Absolutely. All right.
Mara?
Yes.
Can you hear me? My name is Mary Polker, and I'm with the MBA in Majestic. We received a call from the Red Cross to help with transfers, and my daughter, I think she was quite busy on the phone, but how do I get reconnect with them to help out, you know, as much as we can?
I don't know, but maybe I can try to help you find out. So they reached out to you to help with transfers.
Yes, I guess individual right. transfers. You know, I did hear that they were going to have buses. That, so, you know, perhaps I guess maybe they call the Red Cross directly locally here. Maybe that's the answer to see what we can do to help.
I let me see if I can't track down a number for you, Mary, but I'll have to get back to you on that one, okay?
Okay, absolutely. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. You too. Star two to remute yourself. I'm going to ask Jeff Mielke to give us an update on sports development. Jeff, remember star two to unmute yourself.
Hey, Tam, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. So last week we talked a little bit about what our process was going to be. A week has gone by. We're well into facility assessments, both with Lee County Parks and Recreation, City of Cape Coral, trying to figure out what facilities can open. You know, a lot of damage at our sports venues were fencing and sports lighting related. So we've come to find out that some facilities can hold events, but the lights may not work. So, you know, they may be restricted to daylight hours for a little while. So we continue to go down that path. You know, Lee County Parks and Rec is still heavily involved in disaster recovery. So I think the real focus with venues with Parks and Rec is going to be getting spring training both for Twins and Red Sox up and going, so that those facilities are in great shape to welcome, you know, visitors in February and March. I will say that there are a few events that appear to be online as far as, you know, scheduled to happen before the end of the year. All of them would take place Thanksgiving or later. Almost all of them are really, the activity is really sequestered to one hotel maybe. And that hotel has already shown that, yes, they're planning to host it. It might be a convention in December. It could be a smaller event that the hotel and the venue, you know, we've heard from the Gulf Coast Showcase, that Hertz Arena and both and the Hyatt are planning to have that event and are in a good shape to do so. So there are some events that I think will happen before 2023. There'll be either, again, really sequestered into one or two properties that have already agreed to hold the space. Any larger sports event, we have worked with those promoters to relocate them to other parts of Florida, like USSSA softball, Fall States. I will say that the Perfect Game event in late December, which fills well over 3,000 hotel rooms, has been moved this year. We just felt like during the holidays, with the people who are already coming into this town and that big of an inland hotel demand, we just don't know whether or not we would be in a position to host it. And then I think the facilities are really going to be focusing on trying to get spring training up and going as well. So unless anybody has any questions, that's kind of this week's report. And again, as we go week to week, a lot of things change, and I'll just keep you updated.
Does anybody have any questions for Jeff? Feel free to hit star 2 to unmute yourself.
Hi, Tam. Jeff, John Naylor. Hey,
John.
As I had mentioned to both of you earlier this week, City of Palms is we're good to go with FSW, and we're considering full speed ahead for City of Palms this year.
Yep, you and I had spoken. You said that all of the hotels that you have partnerships with are all honoring those partnerships, and
the only exception to that is, excuse me, the Hampton Inn at the beach, which mm-hmm. their whole first floor was flooded.
Right.
And so I'm still about one hotel short right now. So if anybody has rooms from the 16th of December for about a week, let me know. I would be I'd be happy to talk with them.
So that's about 60 days away.
Right.
Okay. Anybody else have a question for Jeff? All right.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, we're going to move forward with the VCB update. First, I want to let you know that the visitfortmyers.com website has been updated to include a list of what is open. If you are open and your business is not included on that list, please reach out to Brielle Benzing. You can email her at bbenzing@leegov.com. And again, we'll include this in the email after the meeting, but we do now have that list up on visitfortmyers.com. Based on the information we have gathered to this point, we estimate that approximately 45% of our rooms are open for business. Of course, most of them are full of crews and first responders. But we know we have not connected with all of you. If you have not done so, please fill out the accommodation survey that will be included in the email we distribute later today. And of course, a big thank you to those who have updated us. We know how busy you are, and taking time for this is not easy. One thing our staff has been doing is responding to a number of receptives, tour operators, and meeting planners who have been unable to reach some of you. This is another critical reason we need to have an update on the status of your property. You know, we're trying to take those calls and take that pressure off of you, but having the latest, greatest information would be helpful. We've certainly been to your websites and your Instagram post and your Facebook post, trying to grab as much as we can from social media, but it would be much better if we got those updates directly from you. And as I like to leave you with a bit of good news, our team had a call with Peter Greenberg this week. You may remember that we had him in town a few months ago shooting our area for a segment on his show, Travel Detective, that would have aired early 2023. Well, given the situation, Peter has generously offered to return to our area pro bono and reshoot the footage post-recovery. So that's a little bit of good news. Always like to have something positive to share. So now I'd like to open things up to give you the opportunity to ask any questions, share any information you'd like to share. Remember to hit *2 to unmute yourself, and then once you're done speaking, *2 again will remute you.
This is Jeff Webb, Tam. How are you today?
Hey, Jeff. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you, your voice, too, and it's great that we're making so much progress. I mean, thank you so much to everyone who's been doing all this work to get things up and running. I do have a question, and I don't mean to be insensitive about this, but I want to ask, has the VCB started any thoughts about what their plans for marketing are going to be for season this coming year?
We have had those conversations, absolutely. Lots of internal conversations around it. A lot of this depends on, you know, where we are with openings and how able we are to host transient guests.
Right.
And, you know, right now, I'm assuming most of you are going to be pretty full till the end of the year. What happens after the first of the year is TBD, but that's part of this conversation, right? Getting that information from you on when you think you're going to be in a position to accept transient guests.
I mean, as far as inland hotels, I mean, I this is a very insensitive discussion. I apologize, but inland hotels, I think we'll see a lot of our recovery business probably start slowing down after Christmas. So by season, we might have availability. I can't speak to the rest of the county, though. So that's, I think, the input for inland hotels.
Yeah, understood, Jeff. And you know, I think in several ways, I think the new branding is beneficial to us in that we, you know, have been trying to highlight neighborhoods. And I think this is a way, as areas of the county are able to begin hosting guests, then we can begin to, you know, share information about those areas that are open and available to transient travelers. But it is, you know, let's be honest, this is a tricky conversation, right? You know,
well, I feel very funny about saying anything, but someone had to do it, so that's why I decided to take the slap.
Nope, it's okay. Believe me, we are having those conversations internally, as you would expect.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate the question, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right. Next person, feel free. *2.
Good morning, Tam. This is Jeannie with The Outrigger.
Good morning, Jeannie.
And Jeff, please don't think it's insensitive. We all know that your world has to continue working. Otherwise, Tam's going to look for a job too, and that's not a good idea. So I know that the islands are going to get this. what I wanted to bring up is to see if anyone else has experienced this from some of the OTAs where they're charging you commissions for reservations that were canceled. It seems like it's a hit and miss situation. And I just want some advice or any recommendations of what your thoughts are.
Jeannie, you're the first person who's brought this up to me, and I, as I mentioned to you, I didn't get to your message until pretty late last night, so I was going to do a little recon today. Haven't gotten to that yet, of course, but we'll see what we can find out, but I'd be happy to hear from anybody else who's finding that same experience and hear who you're being challenged with. Jeannie, I have your name, so no worries there.
And I know, I just thought I'd bring it up to see if anyone else was experiencing this.
Understood.
This is Katya from the Pink Shell. Jeannie, I have not gotten anything, but what I am getting is they're trying to charge us for relocations. So I've been obviously working against that.
Okay, that's one of the
If I find out, I will let you know about the commission.
Okay. That's great. I was shocked because it's not on every one of them. So I'm not sure. But thank
right.
you, Katya.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Katya. Appreciate that input. Anybody else have any thoughts about OTA charges or anything else they want to talk about? Remember, *2 to unmute yourself. All right. Well, I'm going to I'll start to wrap it up. If somebody weighs in, I'm happy to have your conversation. But we appreciate you joining us today. We're going to continue these calls each week, every Thursday at 9 a.m., using the same call-in info as today. And we really appreciate you taking the time to do this. It's very, very important to us that we hear what you're thinking and you have the opportunity to give us feedback. Please know that we're working very hard on your behalf, and certainly know that these are the most challenging times we as a community have ever faced. And, we're going to find our way through this. We will. Every day there's positive news, and I think you've got to hang your hat on that. I know there are inordinate challenges ahead of us, but hang on that positive news. That's the way we'll get through this. Thank you so much. Have a good week, and I'll talk to you next week.